This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We have reached the top of the hour. VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jesse Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Boy, oh boy, can't wait for Wild Card Weekend this weekend. Of course, two games tomorrow, three on Sunday, one on Monday. Right here in the program on the network, rather. You can stay tuned after us for Gil Alexander, Kelly Binwin coming up with a numbers game. We're going to cover you all the way through, and obviously the other national semifinal game tonight with Indiana against Oregon. But Jensen, who's going to find pay dirt? Let's figure out in today's edition of the Red Alert.
Two captains, one mission, anytime touchdowns. Welcome to Red Alert.
Our graphics team, they do a great job. I get fired up for this stuff. So you put together a couple little, maybe two leggers, if you will, for guys that a same game parlay that you like to kick off this edition of the Red Alert. And I wonder, Jensen, in the city of brotherly shove, is that going to be the idea here? Let's get that tush push going again.
Yeah, went a little Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, anytime touchdown parlay to get this thing kicked off. And just kind of understanding when Philly does what they're capable of doing, and hey, week in and week out, your guess is as good as mine from what we've watched, they're really successful. What was last year's elixir and really their priority was establishing the run, controlling the line of scrimmage. Yes, they've dealt with the offensive line injuries this year, and that has drastically reduced that synergy. But if they're going to get on this run, you have to believe the second season, you go back to macro. When they're really successful, they run the football with both Saquon and Jalen Hurts to set up a passing game down the field. I think these two guys, with that tush push in mind, you got a couple opportunities here at the goal line. Both those guys, a very, very high chance to be able to get in the end zone.
We're going to talk about this game a little bit in more detail in our best bet segment. That number is up to 5.5. And I do wonder if that is solely predicated on Trent Williams, Ricky Pearsall, the injuries that the Niners have going. But to your point there with the red alert at plus 290, that does feel like the type of game Philadelphia would want to play, which is ground and pound and see if they can do that to San Francisco and keep the ball out of Brock Purdy's hands. Okay, let's go to Jacksonville. Duval. They're going to be hosting those Buffalo Bills. Lou Finocchiaro, I thought, had a very interesting take on that in the last hour on this game. What do you see here, at least from the Jaguar side?
This has been part of the success for Jacksonville this year is Trevor Lawrence being able to use his legs and then some. And a lot of that also happening within the red zone. So you've had to respect the run game far more from the Jags quarterback this year. That also is going to be something that we look towards where Travis Etienne might have some opportunities opening up too. So again, similar idea of where this offense has been really good in their last basically half of the season on this win streak. Both these guys have been focal points there in the red zone. I like both of them to get opportunities, maybe even more often than we anticipate right now. I know that a lot of unders are where people are looking, especially for Wild Card Weekend. But man, if there's going to be a game to be a shootout, and yes, obviously with the highest total on the board, you would look towards this one. I won't be surprised if both these teams get up and down the field with relative ease.
Yeah, and I see it the same way. We're not going to, you know, suggest that you play these longer parlays. If you wanted to throw a Josh Allen in on that one too, I wouldn't be mad at you, because I do think even though they bottled him up a lot in the regular season with the run game, if that foot's okay, and that is a big if, by the way, for Josh Allen, I would think down in the red zone, if Cook can't get that thing in, you know they'll try that with Allen too. So I'm with you on those quarterbacks, those rushing touchdowns for Hurts, certainly for Lawrence, and maybe even a Josh Allen there. Speaking of rushing touchdowns, well, you want to go across the board. This is a pretty juicy one that you have cooked up.
This is fun. Okay. And again, just some pizza money here, but every team to have at least a rushing touchdown, 100-1, Dave, on DraftKings.
Whoa.
All right. Before you think I'm crazy, let's go through the teams real quickly, right? When you look at the Rams, you know, between Kyron Williams and Blake Corum, all right? On the flip side, Chuba Hubbard, Rico Dowdle, all right? And those, we're just going the running backs here. Hey, yeah. The game that you're kind of worried about, right, is the Packers and the Bears. It just with the weather, you know, can you get in? Do you have opportunities to get close enough? Maybe it's more so we're not kicking it because we don't know where it's going. We're going to have to go for it when we're that close. I think on that Jacksonville and Buffalo game, just talked about it, James Cook, Travis Etienne, that's going to be phenomenal. Here's where we might hit the snag. Will San Francisco, with no Trent Williams, if indeed that's the case, will they get there enough, Dave? I mean, McCaffrey would have to, that's the bottom line. You got to have the rushing touchdown, not a receiving from McCaffrey. Yeah. It's a rushing touchdown. Brock Purdy could use his legs as well. I'm not as worried about the Philly side of that. I'm actually not too worried about the Patriots and the Chargers. You know, it can be Justin Herbert with his legs. It can be Drake May too. So I think you're okay there. Then you get to Monday night. Is it going to be Woody Marks? Is it going to be Jalen Warren? You know, I think if we get to Monday and that ticket's still active, man alive, what a sweat that will be headed into Monday Night Football.
Ironically, I'm not that concerned about the Saturday and Sunday games. I think that's actually a playable long shot pizza money bet at 100-1. I would be nervy about the Steelers being able to run one in against that Texans defense. Yeah. That's the one that I go, man, can they power up against the Texans and, you know, blast them off the line, whether it's the one or the two? That I don't know. But I actually like the play for just about all the other teams here, Jensen, because with the outdoor nature, with the weather being possibly an issue, maybe throwing the football is a little bit tougher down there. I could see there are bootlegs for quarterbacks running it in, like we talked about, whether it's a Lawrence or an Allen, those guys. I could see that. It would worry me. But if you got to Monday night, figure out a way to monetize that ticket at 100-1, because I'm with you. I could see that playing out and going, wow, can I get one from Pittsburgh on Monday Night Football? That might be the caveat there. We've talked about this 6-3 matchup here with the Bills against the Jaguars. And again, this is now down to a pick 'em in most spots, which is kind of where I thought it would settle. Because remember, Jacksonville was getting points earlier in the week at a point and a half. And we talked about it then, maybe teasing that up if you like the Jag side, then up to 7.5. You can't do that. I'm not saying that that's teaser protection. But what the books have done, Jensen, by making this a pick 'em, that if you do a traditional 6-point tease, how much value are you really getting with that now? Because you can't get through that key number of 7 anymore when they take away that prospect at a point and a half. So I do think there's some thinking in that for some teaser protection, because now that 6 points, barring a missed extra point, it doesn't help you as much. I think pick is the right price point that the books have settled on. Do you expect this number to move before we get to kickoff on Sunday?
Boy, it's a great question. And just kind of looking at where some of the differentials are right now, Dave, we're dead even as far as bet percentage on DraftKings for this game, with a slight handle advantage to the Jaguars at 53%. DraftKings is still at +1.5. So that is a severe differential. We preach this, shopping around, finding the best number, depending on the side or the total that you feel most comfortable with. At Circa right now, just looking at the same percentages, it's a bit more in favor of the Jags, 56% of bets, 59% of handle, and it's a whopping 97% of handle on the money line for the Jags. I know this has been a side that you and I have liked, and not taking anything away from what they've done, but the NFL, as far as sustaining win streaks, and we got two of them, they're going to come in to jeopardy with the Jags and the Texans on back-to-back days. Do you have more trepidation that we're, and I hate saying discounting Buffalo, because we're not doing that, but I would feel more comfortable with Buffalo at home, just knowing what the track record is. What scares you the most about the Bills in this matchup?
I tell you what's starting to make me nervy, and that is I feel like everybody loves the Jaguars side. I know that shouldn't play into the handicap. And now 2 days in a row, we had Ross Tucker on the program yesterday, Lou Finocchiaro on earlier in the program today. And even when we talked to Warren Sharp and how he likes Josh Allen to be able to move the ball against this Jaguar defense, I'm starting to wonder, not that as you mentioned, we're not discounting the Buffalo Bills by any stretch, that maybe that sleeping giant in Buffalo is about to be woken up. If Josh Allen's foot is okay, I'm starting to look at 5-1, 10-1 to win the Super Bowl and going, wait a minute. If you told me before this year began that I could get the Bills at 10-1 to win the Super Bowl, we would have made that bet 6 days a week and twice on Sunday. And now I can get there. Yes, you got to go on the road now as a wildcard team. But as Lou pointed out, if they get by Jacksonville and then they theoretically go to Denver, what's that number look like next week? Another pick? Like, all of a sudden, these games are going to be more coin flippy with the Buffalo Bills if they can get by this first one. Not saying this would be the toughest task, but if they do get by this one against Duval, because I think we look at the Jaguars and go, that's a pretty complete team, both offensively and defensively. Denver, really good defense. How complete are they, though, offensively? That's where the big question mark comes in. I'm starting to wonder if there's true value now in the futures market, and I haven't gotten there yet, of the Bills at 10-1 to win the Super Bowl. Because if they win this one, Jensen, I can see a scenario that Josh Allen goes, yep, I am clearly the baddest man left at the quarterback position anywhere in the NFL, but certainly in the AFC. I'm starting to come around to that line of thinking that if not now, when for the Buffalo Bills? No Lamar, no Joey B, no Patrick Mahomes. If you are who we think you are, then you go through the rest of this AFC if you're the Buffalo Bills. Let's talk about who is Jalen Hurts. They are the reigning defendings, after all. Are we discounting the Fly Eagle Fly? We'll talk about that next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We'll be joined by Nick Whalen in the next segment from RotoWire. See his thoughts on Duval and beyond in the NFL wildcard weekend. But one team, Jensen, I don't know that we have been shortchanging them, but it is the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the number's up to 5.5 here, so the market is not disrespecting the Eagles in any way, shape, or form, because this was 3, 3.5, up to 4, 4.5, now up a full point. So the books are struggling to get 49er money here. At now up to 5.5. I want you to hear from Jalen Hurts. He's talking about his head coach, Nick Sirianni. And Sirianni's an interesting bird. I don't think there's any way to put that. But he has been to 2 Super Bowls, and he's gotten so close to winning 2. He has won 1. So I like to give people their props for what they actually accomplish. But let's hear Hurts talking about Sirianni and the approach to this year's team and not last year's.
Some things are in you. Every year is different. But it's always the same goal. And, you know, if you don't have that mentality, then, you know, you're not in the right place, ultimately. And so I know that's something that he's adamant on, and I feel very strongly about that as well. It's just coming in, treating every year as his own year, but also knowing exactly what we're playing for, and that's the collective of winning and putting ourselves in positions to play for championships.
Okay, look, if you've been listening to me on this network since the day he was drafted as a Cowboy backer, I have a lot of respect for Jalen Hurts. I know it doesn't always look aesthetically pleasing to the eye. I know people like to bang on him, and A.J. Brown does too, right? So they've had friction even in their own locker room. But Jensen, I love that mentality. I really do. It's like last year was last year, this is this year. And if you're not thinking that way, then you're probably on the wrong side of this thing going forward. If there's a guy I trust, not that they can flip the switch, but mentally, I know that they're going to be there. It's the Eagles. I know they're mentally tough. I don't like them, but I got to give them their respect, man. And that, when I hear that from Jalen Hurts, I do kind of get that. Boy, am I on the wrong side of this Niner ticket on Sunday? And they're just going to, that championship medal mentality is going to come to play on Sunday.
You and I like this side. I don't want to get away from how we got there. And I realize that this changes if no Trent Williams is in. Like that, we talked about it. Like there's only a handful of linemen that completely change the identity and the productivity of an offense. And no Trent Williams, like you cannot get around that, the loss or the inactive nature that he might have if he's not there on Sunday afternoon, the Niners in a world of hurt. Flip side here, let's talk about Philadelphia short-term, long-term. You and I like the Packers on Saturday night to beat the Bears. Remember where we are from a seeding standpoint. Philly could have back-to-back home games, wild card round here.
Oh boy.
And then should they win and the Packers upset the Bears, the Eagles are right back at Lincoln Financial Field with the highest remaining seed. Okay? Now, that is probably going to be the Rams. And that would be such a unique divisional matchup rematch from a year ago. Don't care what the weather is, but boy, oh boy, would it be the revenge angle and then some in recent NFL postseasons. So I think that there is a level of respect the Eagles have for the Niners, no question about it. Vic Fangio has been absolute kryptonite for Kyle Shanahan. Look up the point totals. It's the one defensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan cannot scheme or figure out. One other nugget, and I know Mitch and Pauly were talking about this a little bit yesterday. When, and I think even Stormy and JVT were on Money Moves. When Kyle Shanahan gets behind at halftime, they don't win. So you're looking for angles. If you think the Niners are winning this game, you play a first half spread and maybe a money line for San Francisco in the first half, because I don't even know if he's got multiple wins when trailing at halftime, Kyle Shanahan. It's even worse when he's behind by 7 points going into the second half. So just a different correlated play to be able to look at what side you're on. Are we going to hang on for dear life with our +4.5? I think we are. I'm especially if Trent Williams isn't in there, but I think you got to seriously look at an Eagles future too, just knowing where you are, should the Packers beat the Bears on Saturday night?
+450, +475 out there in the marketplace to win the NFC and get back as your Super Bowl representative. I mentioned the Bills are 10-1 to win the Super Bowl. The Eagles are +950. Think about that. Bills would have to go on the road, and you just laid out a perfect way, easy way, that the Eagles play their first two at home. And then if they went to Seattle, theoretically, for the NFC title game, look out Seattle. If you get Philadelphia there, I'm starting to look at that Philly side here as a hedge, if you will. If they run roughshod over our Niners this weekend, that +950 might not be a bad ticket to have in pocket as well. Before those line moves, the sharp plays are already there. January is not about volume. It's about precision. NFL playoffs are where the limits rise. Mistakes shrink and timing matters more than ever. So don't try to outsmart those billion-dollar sportsbooks by yourself. Sharp plays got you covered. They're powered by advanced AI, connected to proven insider sources, locked in on the NFL playoffs. Sharp plays helps identify where the sharp money hits before the numbers disappear. You're going to get free daily reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights delivered straight to your inbox or X feed. They've been around the block since 2011. They got documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. Sharpplays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line. This postseason, visit sharpplays.com. About to the AFC side. Mike Vrabel has turned this thing around in a hurry in year number one. I think we've forgotten, too, that Jim Harbaugh did the same thing with the Chargers, too. Instantly made them a playoff team, and here they are again. Now, they haven't won yet in the postseason with Harbs, and they're going to get another opportunity as 3.5-point dogs to do so against Mike Vrabel and company. Justin Herbert's been banged up, not just this year. He's been banged up a lot in the last couple of years, and yet he is a tough dude, and I don't think that has been lost on Mike Vrabel. Let's hear from Vrabel talking about the Chargers signal caller.
Toughness, great arm talent, great athletic ability. He's under duress, I mean, and it
doesn't really affect him. You don't see him get frustrated. A lot of respect for him as a person, and obviously as a player. And you know, he's lived up to everything that they thought he'd be as a franchise quarterback, and he's really just one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
What was the first thing that Vrabel said? Toughness. That was the first thing he said when asked about Justin Herbert. And I think coming out of Oregon, there might have been a lot of questions about just how tough is this guy, right? It was kind of that run and shoot, or at least that spread scheme that they had in Oregon back in the day. You know, can he really stand in there against NFL defenses and take shots? Oh, yeah. Big body, he takes those shots, and he keeps on ticking. You always see Harbaugh over there hitting him on the pads, Jensen, getting him ready to go. And that, I think that's the number one trait that Harbaugh was looking for out of Herbert was toughness. So if it's a matchup of that, and that's what I think of these two head coaches, it's toughness. We talk about this in the college football playoffs here. What do you make of the toughness of these quarterbacks, of these head coaches, and who blinks first?
I think the toughness is warranted. But Dave, I have said for many weeks, yeah, how long can Justin Herbert tough it out with how much he's gotten hit? And you and I know very well that going to Foxborough on a night game, primetime in the postseason, crazy things happen to the road team. Your headsets stop working. You know, the heaters stop working. Like there's just some little voodoo magic that goes on up there. Here is the rub for me. I really like the Chargers defense. But do you want to get in the way of, again, what they've put on paper? And I realize Drake May has beaten some backup quarterbacks, but a win is a win is a win. If Justin Herbert cannot stay upright and he is pressured from this front seven, this could get ugly. I think the Patriots, they were my lean when we were talking yesterday about picking each of these games. It won't shock me if this gets close to a double-digit win for the Patriots. I'm looking at a potential alternate line. Patriots minus 8.5, plus 176. If you think they win by 10, the minus 9.5 is almost 2-1 on DraftKings. If you're at that angle where you think, hey, Chargers defense is great, but the offense isn't going to be able to move the football because Herbert's on his back or he's running for his life. It is something you got to factor in, just kind of knowing where this Patriots defense is, especially at home.
With the bookend tackles of the Chargers being long lost for the season, ironically, what they have to do to me to cover that 3.5 and or win the game is run the football. That gets me to the under. It's my favorite play. I don't like the side as much as I like the total. The under is my play here for 46.5. It's down to 46 now. You can still scoop up 46.5, so I would advise you to do so. But I do see this as being a physical game. And because of what you said, Jensen, they don't want to put Herbert out there in space and let that pass rush get after him, which is not great for the Patriots here, but it's good enough. I think we're going to get a lot of running up there in Gillette Stadium on both sides of the ball, and that's going to get me to the under there. Let's see what Nick Whalen thinks about these wild card games here. And specifically, we'll start off the conversation down there in Duval. Are they good enough to beat the Bills and move on? We'll discuss. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Friday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. Always love our conversations with our next guest. Does a great job at RotoWire, but of course right here in the network as well. Nick Whalen joins the program on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow on X at Whalen with the number one, smack dab in the middle. And we have some breaking news that we'd like to share here on VSiN by the Books. We love Prop Points with John Hansen, the guru, does a great job during football season. After football season, the aforementioned Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson back, baby. You guys are going to be taking over after football season. Congratulations. It was a whopping success last year. Year two of you guys back here on VSiN. We can't wait.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yeah, we've been kind of waiting to make the official announcement, but I believe it will be the week after the Super Bowl. So mid-February, Jeff and I will be taking the show back. We'll be running it through August before presumably handing it back off to Hansen, who, of course, does an excellent job during the NFL season. But you can expect a lot of baseball talk from our guy, Jeff Erickson, who is excellent on the MLB. A lot of NBA talk, I'll tell you that for sure. And pretty much all the NFL futures talk you can handle as we get into the summer months. So very much looking forward to it. I'll actually be out in Vegas the first week we're doing the show. So we'll do some live shows out there. Should be a ton of fun.
Thrilled, buddy. I will be listening to you guys in that first week on my way to vacation. So you will send me off for a nice little respite there. We can start to look at some futures. Dave's already got baseball futures in pocket, so cannot wait to get to that in just about a month's time. The future is now here in Duval County. We have obviously chronicled what has been basically a storybook year here for Liam Cohen, Trevor Lawrence and company. Now the rubber meets the road, and it is going to be a stiff test here against this Buffalo Bills team coming in with a head of steam. Size it up for us here, Nick, and putting the fandom aside, objectively, strengths and weaknesses you see on both sides, and maybe are we discounting the Bills in any sort of fashion, or is this truly a heavyweight fight with both these offenses?
Look, I've been saying all week, guys, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think it is a heavyweight fight. I think the Jaguars kind of qualify as a heavyweight right now with how they've been playing over the last 2 months. Now, as we get closer and closer to Sunday, you know, it feels like kind of a swell of Jaguars momentum. At least everybody that I talk to, feels like every podcast I listen to, everybody's saying, you know, this is the spot where the line is wrong and Jacksonville's the much better team overall. I believe all of those things, but, you know, picking the Jaguars to win this game requires a lot of faith in Trevor Lawrence. And if Trevor Lawrence plays at anywhere close to the level that he's played for the last 2 months, then yes, I am of the belief that the Jaguars should win this game. But, you know, I think it's kind of the same process, at least that I go through when I think about the Seattle Seahawks. And it's like, man, I really like the Seattle team. I love the defense. But if you're taking Seattle, who's in a better spot, of course, as the one seed, if you're saying, all right, I think Seattle can make the Super Bowl, that requires you to put your faith in Sam Darnold. And, you know, the larger sample with Sam Darnold would suggest that that could be dicey. The much larger sample with Trevor Lawrence would suggest that, okay, maybe he's not going to keep playing at the level that he has for the last 2 months. I mean, if Trevor Lawrence can play clean football, he doesn't even have to be, you know, player of the month as he was this past month. He doesn't have to be, you know, an MVP level quarterback, but he can't be turning the ball over 2, 3, 4 times like he has in some games earlier this season and, you know, was a frequent problem earlier in his career. What worries me a little bit here, guys, is, you know, this idea that, you know, Buffalo's a terrible run defense. They're 31st in rushing EPA. Those are true. But Jacksonville has not exactly run the ball effectively down the stretch. You know, a lot of these wins have been, you know, more defensive focused. It's been on the arm of Trevor Lawrence, which is really encouraging as far as the development of Lawrence going forward. But I don't necessarily expect Jacksonville to, you know, come out and run all over Buffalo, you know, during this winning streak. Jacksonville is like 22nd in rushing efficiency. So it's not necessarily a situation where I would expect them to be able to just ride Travis Etienne and Bashaul Tutin and take the pressure off of Trevor Lawrence. Like, there is going to be a time in this game where there's going to be a must score drive and you're going to have to put your faith in Trevor Lawrence to march this offense down the field. So there's a reason, guys, that, you know, this was sitting at a pick'em at one point yesterday at the Circus Sportsbook. You know, it's been hanging Bills 1.5 at some other spots. What worries me as a Jags fan here is that the Buffalo Bills are never out of games. You know, like, Jacksonville could get out to a 21-0 lead in the first quarter, much like the New England Patriots did a month ago, and you always feel like Josh Allen is going to come storming back.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You never feel safe when you're going up against a league MVP like Josh Allen, and that has been on display, as we saw most recently in that comeback against the Patriots. I want to go to your neck of the woods there in Wisconsin. And, you know, after week one and the Micah Parsons trade, the Packers are going to be winning the Super Bowl. It's already been set in stone. Now Micah's done for the year with the MCL. Jordan Love's been banged up in concussion protocol. Malik Willis has had to play a lot. He's got a bad shoulder now. Have we discounted the Packers, even though the betting market hasn't? They're a point and a half favorite to beat the Bears. Longer term, Nick, I get the feeling there's not a lot of buzz around this Packer team to make a deep run in the NFC.
And rightfully so. Rightfully so, to be honest. You know, I think they're getting respect in this game specifically. I think they couldn't really ask for a better situation considering how the last month has gone for the Green Bay Packers. You know, losing Micah Parsons, losing Devontae Wyatt and Tucker Kraft before that, I think you could argue those are three of your probably 5 or 6 most important players on this entire roster. And the moment that Parsons specifically went down, like, the way this team is constructed, this defense is constructed around him, I think the Super Bowl ceiling evaporated as soon as he went down in Denver. Mm. So I don't see Green Bay necessarily making a deep run, but for as bad and banged up as this team has been for the last month, to have a situation where I don't care if you're a slight underdog or a slight favorite, it's basically a toss-up game and a 2-7. It's kind of best case scenario. Like, this is absolutely a winnable game for the Green Bay Packers. They probably should have beat this Bears team twice, including once with a backup quarterback during the regular season. So I won't be surprised if the Packers go into Soldier Field and end up winning, winning this game. But I don't think there is a Super Bowl ceiling necessarily for Green Bay. I will say this, though, being here in the state of Wisconsin, every Packers fan expects the Packers to win. Deep down, they're also expecting some sort of like bizarre botched onside kick or something at the end and the Packers to lose in horrific fashion. But we have a rare situation where I think both fan bases are extremely confident that their team is going to win, and both fan bases are extremely scared that their team is going to lose. Like, this is about as high stakes as it gets for a 2-7 matchup in terms of kind of how we feel about these teams going forward. I'm staying off of this game, you know, from a spread perspective, but I do lean toward the over, guys. You know, in that first matchup between these two teams, we had no points in the first quarter. There was only one red zone drive on the entire day for Green Bay. Chicago went 2-4 in the red zone. The game still went over. Second matchup did go under this number, but these teams combined for almost 800 yards of total offense. The Packers were 0-5 in the red zone in that second game.
Fascinating. I cannot wait to see what the weather and potential snow globe atmosphere it looks like. I will be watching from the comfort of 71 degrees in the theater room here in Northeast Ohio. Comfort is something we always come to you with when it involves either some player props that you might be targeting, maybe a game in general that really jumps out. Nick, I'll give you the floor. Of Wild Card Weekend, best spot for you, whether it be side or total, or maybe a prop that you're really convicted on.
Yeah, well, again, I do like that over in Green Bay, Chicago. I'm not too worried about the weather, at least as far as what I'm seeing. We might get some wind, and we might have some snow earlier in the day in Chicago, but I don't think it's going to be a weather disaster by any means by the time we get to Saturday night. I think you have to look at the under in the Houston-Pittsburgh game. You know, it feels obvious, but at the same time, you know, even with DK Metcalf back, I just don't see the Steelers doing a whole lot against that Houston defense. And, you know, for as great as Houston's been on the defensive side, I think that's been a team that, you know, struggles to get to 20 to 23 points on a weekly basis. So, you know, that number is getting lower and lower, but I think still a value. Looking at the under 20.5 on the San Francisco team total as well. You know, you don't want to overreact to what you saw in week 18, but that Philly defense, maybe it's not quite Seattle level. It's fairly close to me. I think that's a game that the Eagles are totally comfortable kind of mucking up. You know, you can see Philly struggling a little bit offensively. They've done that all season and kind of end up grinding out a lower scoring game there. In terms of the prop market, guys, you know, in that Green Bay Chicago game, you know, you have to like what you've seen from Colston Loveland over the second half of the season. The over 3.5 receptions for Loveland, Loveland anytime touchdown at plus 220. Those are two props that I'm taking a look at. You know, trying to find a way to play Saquon Barkley this weekend. Staying away from the rushing prop, you know, certainly this is a game with how exploitable that Niners defense has been, where you could see Saquon ripping off a long run or two. He just hasn't been that guy this season. He has four runs on the entire year of 20 plus yards. So I'm looking at the over 2.5 receptions for Barkley at plus 110. Niners have given up the second most receptions to the running back position this season. I like Blake Corum over 43.5 rushing yards against the Carolina Panthers. You know, because the Rams lost that first game to Carolina, we just think of it as like a disaster. They're turning the ball over. They were at 7.5 yards per play. It was their highest success rate of the season in any single game offensively. And Blake Corum was gashing that Carolina Panthers defense. So I think we could see a repeat of that. And then one more that I'll leave you guys on, guys. You could get either the Steelers or the Panthers. These are two separate bets, of course, as the lowest scoring team this week. So kind of take your pick there at plus 350.
Cool. By the way, just for those that have been paying attention here on our program, Nick, Jaguars have not lost since you've become a dad. So let's just see if that continues through Wild Card Weekend, Nick. Let's see if we can keep that going for yet another week. Nick, appreciate you. Very excited to have you and Jeff back after football season as well. That's really good news for the network. When we come back, our best bets, they're coming up right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by Bucks right here on VSiN.
Great having Nick Whalen on the program as always in the last segment. And yeah, that Duval game down there. It is interesting to watch the line moves here, Jensen Lewis, as we get to our best bets here to round out the program today. Again, if you want more VSiN after the program, you can do so. We're going to have VSiN.com, VSiN Watch app. Of course, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidwin coming up next here on the network with the numbers game. But I am surprised a little bit. And by the way, if you've not become a VSiN Pro subscriber, Jensen, you should do so right now. $9.99 for as little as your very first month here. So for 30 days, you're going to get daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, full access to those tools and data points there for you. It's an intro offer. It's a really good deal. Get it now, covering you all the way through the college football playoff, of course, and the NFL postseason here as we get to wildcard weekend. VSiN.com/subscribe, $9.99 for your very first week. I want to start with that game at Duval because I have been conflicted, and I did like and do like the Jaguars still in that game. But the other side of me says if Buffalo gets by this test in Duval, why can't they then run the rest of the table in the AFC? Not to say that I think Jacksonville is the best team necessarily, but I think they clearly would not fear a team like the Patriots that they've already seen twice, came back from a 21-0 deficit to win. And point being, there's no fear factor for the Bills to potentially go to Denver either as the number one seed, even though it's a great defense that Vance Joseph has out there with Sean Payton. I don't think there's any team on the board that Buffalo goes with our quarterback that we should not be able to without Mahomes, without Joey B and Lamar Jackson. It doesn't get to look a whole lot better than that.
Well, I think that you have a strength on strength here. And if it does get into a shootout, then it's almost like who's got the ball last. And that is the problem when you look at where potentially, if it is Josh Allen, yes, the fear of God is going to be in a lot of Jags fans. Just again, if you want to take your heart out of it, Dave, looking at some of these differentials right now, it's not shocking that we have about 68% of the bets, 72% of the handle on the over 51.5 at DraftKings for Bills and Jags. If you look over at Circa, it tells a different tale. 56% of bets, 65% of handle on the under. So more of a public book there at DraftKings, way sharper of a book there at Circa. Take that information for what you will. I guess the Buffalo Bills win because X. I think this has to be maybe a higher scoring game. And if so, like, does Buffalo have to get to 30 points? They might. I don't know if they get there. I think that Jacksonville is going to have a lot to say offensively, and there's a lot of dynamics there that I don't know if the Bills will have an opportunity to limit. So I like it much more with Jacksonville at home. If this was in Orchard Park, hands down, I think a lot of people will be taking the Bills.
You know, that is interesting. Again, go back and listen on your time here. Download and like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. Warren Sharp in the second hour of the program today said that he likes Josh Allen maybe in the passing props. That to look to some of those receiving props here for the Bills, that he's going to have to use that arm. And if that foot is still a problem, that's something we really don't know yet for Josh Allen, that it might be more of a drop back passer, Josh Allen, which you don't think of a lot, right? We think of him using his legs and creating plays, off schedule plays, that sort of thing. That's what I think of when I think of Josh Allen. If that is not on the table as much for him and you make him more of a traditional quote unquote passer in the pocket, I wonder how that plays out for the Bills. And I don't know that that plays out as well as you get with that mobile Josh Allen. So remember, I know it's a couple weeks ago now, and you know he misses that two-point conversion. I don't know if that's foot-induced, but that's a throw that Josh Allen just normally does not miss, which would have been a victory against Buffalo, against the Eagles, rather. So I'll be curious to see if Josh Allen is back to being fully healthy, because Trubisky played the last game of the regular season. He's had a couple weeks off. That'll be interesting there. On the Sunday game, two games tomorrow with the Panthers. I don't know anybody, and I mean anybody, that is picking the shocker of all shockers and saying, you know what? I think Carolina is going to win this game. I don't, Jensen. Do you see a world that exists that Carolina can do what they just did over a month ago? People have already forgotten that they actually did beat this team at home, same scenario. It's deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra once said. Is there, are we discounting the possibility of an absolute stunner in Charlotte?
No, because anything's possible on Wild Card Weekend. And we're going to get an upset somewhere. I think many people targeting the Packers just in seeding alone. The Packers taking out the Bears, even though the 7 seed is a 1.5 point favorite on the road against the 2 seed. So that is, I guess, in number, that would be a shocker just because it's a 7 seed over a 2. From a spread standpoint, it was one of the first that I bet. I got Carolina at plus 10.5. I'll repeat it. 47% of bets, Dave, at Circa, 93% of handle. Do the Rams cover? I don't know. I don't think so. I'm betting against them to cover. Do I think they win? Yes, I think they win. I just have seen too much inconsistency, slow starts, kind of, you know, asleep at the wheel for the first quarter. And boy, then do they turn it on. They're a freight train. But is that enough to cover double digits? Again, a reminder, should they close north or at least at 10.5 or north of that, they will be the largest favorite in the Super Bowl era in the wild card round. That goes all the way back to 1966. So just factor that in. This would be history in game one of wild card weekend should that occur.
You and I are both on the Packers side here, laying the 1.5 against the Bears on Saturday night, tomorrow night. On the Sunday game, we talked about Duval against the Bills. What about that middle game now? That's up to 5.5 here to the way of the Fly Eagle Fly. And I would be stunned if we don't see Trent Williams out there at least trying to give it a go. And look, he could not give it a go against Seattle. And maybe I should recant that statement, because you know if Trent Williams can't get out there and play, he's hurt. And that was a winner-take-all scenario for the number one seed, and he couldn't go. Are we being too obtuse that we just, oh, yeah, he'll gut it out and he'll get out there. He and Ricky Pearsall, those guys couldn't go in the biggest game of the year, Jensen. Why should I believe that all of a sudden a week later they're going to be able to give it a try against Philly?
Yeah, I probably later today is our real understanding of availability. And this number may create, I mean, does it get to 6? Sick.
Oh,
I cannot see that being.
That's a double dog.
You're
going
to give me, you're going to give me 6 points for the Niners. I may have to rebet it as well. I can't see it going north of that. Just food for thought here. 60% of the bets, 58% of handle at Circa on the Niners plus 5.5. Moneyline bets are dead even with 94% of the handle on the Eagles minus 240. Here's where I would go if you think the Eagles don't cover but win. I think you can parlay the Eagles and then go figure out what you want. Do you think the Patriots take care of business at home? I mean, that gets you to plus $1.12. The Eagles money line, and, you know, do you think the Packers do what they're supposed to do, or at least what they hope to do on Saturday night? That's plus $1.56. If you think it's crazy and the voodoo magic continues and it's 24 consecutive Monday night football home wins for the Pittsburgh Steelers and all Pennsylvania money line parlay, Dave, is plus 222 on the money line. Eagles money line, Steelers money line. For the Turnpike parlay, plus 222.
The Sunday night game is that Patriots and the Chargers game. I like the under as my favorite bet of the weekend here. 46.5. It's down to 46 here. You're starting to get to the liking the Patriots and some alt numbers, right?
I think it's intriguing. I'm not there yet, but that's part of my consideration is if Justin Herbert's running for his life, that really concerns me. Also on the flip side is, all right, Drake May, who have you really beaten? And when have you beaten him and where have you beaten him? So if Jim Harbaugh has his way, that running game is intact. You already like the under. Well, that means you want to get to the Chargers side and maybe an outright, just throwing it out there. 37% of bets, 72% of handle on the Chargers, plus 3.5 at Circa. And on the money line, Dave, 46% of bets, 66% of handle on LA.
I lean Chargers there, taking the 3.5, but you got to keep Herbert upright. We're going to talk much more about the Monday night game here. It is down to 3. Do you think by the time we kick the show back up next week, do you think that number changes at all? Or you think we're going to hold right there at 3 through the weekend?
I think you're going to hold it three. I like my 3-2 as well, where they're at for the Texans, that's for sure.
I am on the Steelers plus 3.5 here. I don't know that those are going to repopulate here. 3.5 is what you're seeing there for the Patriots tomorrow night. Jensen, enjoy the football, my man, this weekend. Cannot wait to kick this off on Monday as we wrap up Wildcard Weekend. And we'll also know who is going to be playing for the national championship. We'll get to all of that. If you want more VSiN, all you have to do is go to the VSiN Watch app, VSiN.com. We've got Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin coming up next here with a numbers game.